This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Area Diesel Service of Carlinville, and M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And now with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now in Ag News here on your Tuesday afternoon. President Biden's initial USDA budget proposal for next fiscal year stresses rural broadband, waterways, clean energy, and food security. At nearly $28 billion, Biden's fiscal year 2022 USDA spending is a 16% boost, or almost $4 billion more than this year. There's also $1 billion more for feeding programs and more for March stimulus programs and towards programs in the Biden infrastructure package. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack told last month's AgriPulse Forum that infrastructure goes beyond the gray projects and into the green ones.
You often think about gray infrastructure, roads and bridges and ports and locks and dams, all of which are really, really important. But they also have to think about green infrastructure, and this might be the opportunity for significant investment by us in our forests because they are carbon sinks, if you will.
Rural clean energy development, including possible carbon credits, will get a $1.4 billion boost, and producers will also benefit if more is spent on feeding programs.
Obviously, if more things are purchased at the grocery store, that means more things need to be packaged and processed and transported and, yes, produced. And farmers receive 15, 16 cents of every food dollar that's spent at the local grocery store.
The president's early budget blueprint would also set up an equity commission to review farm programs and increase funding for USDA civil rights enforcement. In other ag news from around the country, record agricultural exports are contributing to favorable economic conditions for the U.S. farm sector. Exports to China have risen at record levels, with increases in beans, wheat, corn, and cotton. High crop prices and strong producer margins are expected to bring more acreage into production, but continuing drought in much of the western United States is a concern. The Farm Credit Administration says farm sector income is expected to remain above average this year. Stronger market prices and receipts are expected to mostly offset the decline in government payments from 2020. Strong farmland values, especially here in the Midwest, reflect current income prospects, increased interest from both farmers and investors, and low interest rates. The data was presented to the Farm Credit System last week. Despite the pandemic shock to the U.S. economy and agriculture, the system remained safe and financially sound last year. The system reported strong results for the year, including robust loan growth driven by real estate lending, higher earnings, and increased capital. And the U.S. economy is continuing to outperform expectations as stimulus funds are fueling robust consumer spending. Forecasts point to 7% GDP growth for 2021, the fastest rate of expansion since back in 1984, according to CoBank. The transition to a less COVID-restricted world has begun, but for the economy and rural industry, CoBank says there will be no going back to pre-COVID conditions. Researchers say the focus in Washington is shifting from crisis management to building for the future, and the outcome will reshape rural community and economies. Meanwhile, CoBank reports the cyclical turn in grain pricing continued during the first quarter of 21 and has picked up further grains ahead of the spring planting season. Farm supply retailers are positioned to benefit from an exceptionally strong spring agronomy season, outpacing spring and fall of last year. The U.S. fuel ethanol sector has recovered, with production running at nearly 90% of pre-COVID levels, and chicken, beef, and pork have all seen strong demand and profitability. However, dairy exports are struggling, mainly due to shipping-related issues. And for the fourth straight week, the national average price of gasoline has dropped, declining 2 cents to $2.85 a gallon. The national average now stands a half cent lower than it did a month ago and $1.02 a gallon higher than last year. But of course, COVID had a big deal to do with that. The national average price of diesel is down by a penny in the last week and stands at $3.07 a gallon. Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan says it has been a fairly tame last few weeks at the pump for most areas after a particularly active February and March when prices were screaming higher. DeHaan adds, for now, the risk of seeing the national average climb to $3 a gallon has been delayed by the recent surge in COVID cases, limiting the upside to gas demand. However, as the outlook improves, we still have the potential to see summer gasoline prices at their highest levels in years. U.S. gasoline demand fell for the first time in 7 weeks after a healthy Easter travel holiday boosted demand down just shy of 1%. And now in ag news here on the state level, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is touting a new program called Cicada. That's C-I-C-A-D-A. And it's not the invasive bug whose shell is left behind on trees and other hard surfaces, but it's rather a program aimed at better land and wildlife management. DNR Deputy Director Rachel Torbert says the online resource aims to engage the public and private sector in habitat protection, restoration, and biodiversity conservation through voluntary action.
It stands for Conservation Inclusive Construction and Development Archive, and that, you know, we put that all together, Cicada. Basically what that is for anybody, whether you are a general contractor, you're in commercial, you know, property development, you're a private landowner, it's a website that you can go to that gives you ideas on how to protect habitat as you are going through these building projects. So let's say you're a private landowner and you are, you know, you want to put a shed up on your property. It gives you some ideas on how to incorporate pollinator habitat or ensure that you're not endangering any other wildlife or habitat. For commercial developers, it does the exact same thing. Tells you what species you might need to be aware of in your area and how to protect that, how to add wildlife and habitat enhancements to continue to protect that as you continue to develop these projects. So it's really for anybody to use, but it's a great resource, again, to not only encourage development, but encourage wildlife protections as you're developing property.
According to Torbert, the information in the guide is very in-depth and covers everything from short, fun-to-read introductions and how-to conservation to habitat management guidance documents, as well as more in-depth technical documents. Users also will be linked to assistance programs for landowners and conservation tax-deductible donation opportunities through the Illinois Conservation Foundation. Visit cicada-idnr.org for more information. Again, that website, cicada-idnr.org. Again, for more information. And if you have a well on your property, it's the time of year to think about testing the water in said well. Dwayne Frand is a University of Illinois Extension Educator in Energy and Environmental Stewardship.
Well, we get a lot of questions throughout the year about wells and how to test them, but especially at this time of year when we start getting into a little bit wetter part of the season, and in some cases we start getting some of those heavy rains, we have situations where, especially on older wells, they may be worried about whether there was some surface water that got in and contaminated the well, and especially in potentially lower-lying areas where water can run over a particular wellhead. And again, we're talking about older wells for this. We just still have people that are concerned about this. And even newer wells, from time to time, we have questions about how to test the water, make sure that it's safe, and all of those kind of things. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that today and give some people some information about where they can test their water. And there's actually a couple of different avenues that people can take with this. First of all, if you just got some general concerns about the water, maybe it doesn't taste quite right, or maybe it's got a little bit of an odor to it, the first thing that I would suggest is to contact the Illinois State Water Survey. They have a public service lab for water testing. Now, the first thing to say with this is they do not test for bacteria or those types of things. They also do not test for pesticides. But, again, if you have an odor issue or a taste issue, more than likely it's dealing with maybe some minerals or those types of things that can be in the water. And that's kind of what they'll test for that. They can test for a number of different types of metals in there. They can test for arsenic, which is another big concern in some areas of the state. And so they can do that very easily. And if someone would contact a public service lab, but they will give them a sample collection kit. They'll tell them how to get the sample, and then they can send it in. There is a little bit of a cost to it, but it's not exorbitant. I think it's probably in the $60 to $70 range at most. But they can get that sample done for them, get it back very quickly, and the public service lab is really good about talking with individuals before and after the testing so that they can give them not only the results, but then give them some options on what they can do to take care of that if there is an issue involved with it.
The Illinois State Water Survey Public Service Lab phone number is 217-300-7420. And finally, here in State Ag News, we have a U of I Extension expert that gives us a preview to the mushroom hunting season.
You know, I think one thing is that these wild mushrooms, you find the right ones, they're just tasty. But I think on top of that, it's just the fun of the search. You know, it's like a treasure hunt, going out and finding these species and looking for them, and then you get rewarded, you know, by eating them. And so it's a culture is developed around just enjoying nature and enjoying the search for these. Really, a good season, mushrooms, they need soil moisture and they need warm soil, but not too hot of conditions. So if we continue on the path we're going, where we've had adequate rain, we've got a lot of soil moisture, we've got a nice slow warm up, our spring mushrooms, and in particular our morels, we should have a great year this year. Now that could be turned off at any time if we get a drought or it gets really warm too fast and the soil temperature increases kind of more than we want it to, then, you know, things could shut off. But I'm hopeful that we'll have a good season this year.
Morel mushrooms are the most popular in the springtime, but Evan says there's quite a few other numbers of edible mushrooms that can be found growing across Illinois. And coming up tomorrow in local ag news, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their April meeting. That'll be held again tomorrow evening at 7 at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. And another Farm Bureau news, if you missed this morning's Montgomery County Farm Bureau report with Katie Wilson, we have that up on our website and on our Facebook page. Just find either online at WSMIRadio.com or through our WSMI Agriculture Facebook page. And that concludes your Ag News here for your Tuesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday afternoon, April 13th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.